Hello and welcome. I'm Mark Blunden and you're listening to Tech and Science Daily from the Evening Standard. Please make sure to hit follow. Here's what's happening today, Thursday the 10th of June. First world leaders have touched down on British soil for this year's G7 summit in Cornwall. President Joe Biden is among world leaders at Carbis Bay, where they'll iron out a COVID response and the big geopolitical, cybersecurity and eco challenges of the year ahead. One person who'll be watching closely is a former advisor to the Blair government and current member of London's Sustainable Development Commission, Nick Mabey, chief executive of climate change think tank E3G. What are the key commitments you'll be expecting, Nick?
A firm commitment to get coal power out of their electricity systems by 2035, 2030 we'd like, but we probably get 2035. The Japanese have got to stop funding coal power abroad, and we hope to see them agree to phase out internal combustion engines, though it's looking like the Americans and the Germans and the Japanese may not go as far as the UK has on that by saying we want to stop selling internal combustion engines by 2030. And finally, they need to come up with firm commitments to pay the promised money they promised the developing countries back in Copenhagen in 2010. Because if they don't deliver that promise, all we'll talk about for the next 6 months is about money, not climate ambition for the rest of the world.
And as the world's green and not so green infrastructure goes digital, what are the challenges to stop hacks like we saw with Colonial Pipeline?
This is one of the kind of sleeping giants of climate geopolitics. You can't have a zero carbon world that's also not a very smart world, because running a renewable energy based system requires, you know, very high levels that all your infrastructure to be deeply digitized, which of course makes it vulnerable. After the G7, there'll be an EU-US summit where they're going to discuss quite a lot of these issues about cybersecurity, privacy, etc., to essentially form a transatlantic set of rules, because there's been a lot of disputes across the Atlantic. How do you keep, you know, pipelines, electric grids, electric vehicles safe from the type of hacking we've seen in America on the energy systems just in the last month? So this is really critical. And it also links to the other big thing the G7 made is announced, agreeing they're going to really up the ability to invest in developing countries like Indonesia or Pakistan or India to help them go clean and green, as they call it. Now, the green is zero carbon, but the clean is about anti-corruption, transparency, and things like cybersecurity. So these G7 countries setting a high standard of infrastructure, which includes protecting it from invasive hackers, whether they're state-run or organized crime, as we've seen in the latest attack.
Next, the firm responsible for a widespread internet outage is apologising for the disruption. Prominent websites including gov.uk, Amazon and Spotify were offline for almost an hour on Tuesday. Fastly, the cloud computing company responsible for the issues says an undiscovered software bug was triggered when one of its customers changed their settings. Businesses and media sites including the Evening Standard, Le Monde and the New York Times were all hit in the outage. Now, staying with cybersecurity, new figures reveal that major hacks against targets in Europe doubled during the pandemic year. The European Union Agency for Cybersecurity says there were over 300 serious breaches by gangs in what it describes as critical sectors, as many countries were in lockdown. The agency says there was nearly a 50% increase in attacks targeting hospitals and surgeries as doctors battled against a surge of COVID-19 cases. It comes as figures from software security firm Sophos shows ransoms demanded by gangs that took over computer systems to unlock company mainframes doubled to over $1.8 billion. President Joe Biden has withdrawn Trump-era executive orders that would have banned new downloads of China's TikTok and WeChat. Biden has ordered a Commerce Department review of security concerns posed by those apps. The Trump administration wanted to block new users from downloading these apps in a move that would have effectively stopped their use in the US. While courts blocked those orders so they never took effect, the White House says it remains concerned about the data security risks TikTok and WeChat might pose. We'll be back in just a moment. Please do hit follow.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
This edition of Tech and Science Daily is brought to you by the AXA Startup Angel Competition. I'm Sharmadine Reed, founder and CEO of The Stack World, and I'm here to help you turn your business dream into reality. There are six chances to win the competition, including two top prizes of £25,000, mentoring from myself and leading UK founders, plus business insurance for a year thanks to AXA. Go to standard.co.uk/AXA Startup Angel for details on how to enter and complete your entry by the 2nd of June 2024. Good luck.
It's a story that's captivated the world. A herd of Asian elephants, those are the ones with the small ears, have been spotted trekking hundreds of miles across China. Drones have kept an eye on them, grazing and snoozing as they thunder across the country, northwards from their home in Yunnan province. So what's their usual habitat and what's caused this sudden migration?
Quite often the safe areas for these animals are in fragmented, protected areas. So it's not as though they have a massive area to forage for fruiting trees. They're kind of stuck to a national park or something like that. So if the season changes and their regular food supply isn't there, then they have to move out of those areas. And that's where a lot of the conflicts come from, because they're moving then into human-dominated areas, quite often agricultural areas where there's nice, juicy crops to eat.
That's Scott Wilson, Chester Zoo's head of field programs, whose conservation team works to help local people in Assam, India, live more harmoniously with their elephant neighbours.
It's all to do with working with communities that live adjacent to elephant habitat, and helping them to come up with ways of protecting their crops and their buildings and living alongside elephants. Because otherwise, if you don't do that, you get retaliation. Sort of crop for the year is getting damaged, then after a while, they will take sort of revenge on the elephants. And that's what we see in some areas where this escalates.
You're up to date. We're back on Friday at 1 p.m. Please do hit follow and come back at 4 p.m. for the Leader podcast with David Marsland for the latest news, interviews and analysis from the Evening Standard here in London.